Seattle's ACT Theater is presenting an American premiere of a new play by the British writer and director Alan Ayckbourn, one of the most celebrated and prolific playwrights alive. And he's in Seattle to direct the new play called Sugar Daddies. It's about a young girl's relationship with an older man. Thing is, the man isn't exactly what he seems, and neither is the girl. The Record's Marcy Silman talked to Ayckbourn, and she's here now. Marcy, I've got tickets for this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. What was it like to meet the playwright?
Oh, he's such a gentleman, a really great guy. And by the way, it's Sir Alan Ayckbourn to you and me, if you really want to be correct about it. Ayckbourn's written more than 75 plays. He's only about 75, so you can think about it as a play a year. He's won every theater award that there is, both in England and here in the U.S. And Ayckbourn always directs the premieres of his own work, which is kind of interesting. He told me he's been doing theater officially since he was about 17. His mom was a writer. His dad was a classical musician, which got me to wondering how he got involved in theater.
I can only presume it was genetic, because my grandparents, my maternal grandparents, were both, as it turns out, in theater. My grandmother was a music hall male impersonator, and I had a picture of her in a top hat and a stick, and she did the music halls.
So it skipped a generation of you. Your mother was a writer, right?
My mother was a writer, and that was the mix. And my father was a violinist in the London Symphony Orchestra. So I come from an all-arty family. I haven't inherited much music from my father, no ability to play, but a profound love of music I've been stuck with.
Is it true that you wrote your first play because you were complaining that you were in a play that had no good parts and somebody just said, well, write your own?
True. My first professional play. I wrote my very first play when I was 9 or 10. I was always writing plays because I really wanted to be an actor. And so my very first play, I wrote myself, I adapted a book when I was still at my first school, but my first professional play was indeed in response to my acting career, which was still faltering. I said to the manager, who's Stephen Joseph, who is my mentor, really, my great inspiration. He said, "Oh, you're right. Yes, if you want a better part, then write one yourself." And I said, "Yeah, I will. Anyone could write a better play than this." And I stomped off in sort of young arrogance and started writing a play. And I finished it, and I was in it the next year, playing the massive role. I just had all the best lines. And it was a sort of real ego trip. I remember doing that for about 3 successive plays, and I just got more. I was drunk with power. And then my second play had, I played 4 roles just to show how versatile it was. And then in the next play, I played 8 roles. And by now, if you did the multiples, we'd be about 70,000 roles. Then I suddenly realized in the third play, maybe I wasn't quite as good as I thought I was, and that some of the actors were actually, dare I say it, better than me. So I stepped down from acting, and at the same time, my mentor, whom I mentioned, Stephen Joseph, then passed me what I consider then now as the poison chalice. He offered me to direct a show. And once you direct, if it gets into your blood, you stop acting. Because and so I developed a separate acting, directing career, and I was still writing, but I wasn't directing them. And then, as the years passed, I suddenly found the two careers had merged.
I was curious about that because normally playwrights don't direct their own work. That happens, like film auteurs do their own directing, but it's not so often that the writer has the power to actually see his or her creation onto its feet.
Yes, and it's quite dangerous if writers do decide rather belatedly to direct their own plays, because there are lots of minefields in rehearsal rooms waiting for the unwary director.
Well, you direct premieres, and I would think that would be especially hard because it's often in mounting the new work that changes happen. So, and sometimes those changes somebody else is making to a playwright's work. So Can you, do you have that ability to inhabit those two roles without feeling too protective of all those children that you've birthed onto a page?
Yeah, you develop objectivity. I've written 77 plays, and by the time I got to the middle 50s, I was able to, in terms of numbers of plays, I was able to put the pen away, as it were, and then switch off the writer and work objectively as the director. And I, the actors used to laugh because I'd say, "I think he meant at this point," and they'd say, "Well, it's you, isn't it?" And I'd say, "Oh yeah." But now it's become merged, and I start directing the plays as I'm writing them. So it's quite interesting, and I really couldn't actually define a moment when I start directing and stop writing.
This play, Sugar Daddies, it's 10 years old. We're seeing the American premiere here in Seattle, and it's an interesting play because I haven't seen it up. I've only read it. But it starts off, and there's almost a sort of frothy feeling to it. And as this play progresses, particularly into the second act, the bubbles go flat, and it becomes much more like a, instead of the champagne that we started with, like some deep red wine that's got a little bit of something heavy lurking.
Yes, it's been a feature of my work over the years. The dark and the light are always a mix there. Some plays I add a bit more dark. This one is sort of like 50-50.
I wanted to talk about the two characters I thought of as the central. There's a young, what we think of as a young naive woman at the beginning, Sasha, and this man named Val, who she calls Uncle Val. And I see them as... they're sort of yin and yang, and yet not really, because they're two sides of a coin.
Yes, it's the most unconventional love story with an 80-year-old man and a 22-year-old girl. And the interesting thing is, before anyone goes, they never touch. It's all a gradually growing friendship. But what quite they get out of the friendship is dubious and becomes quite dangerous. And the theme of the play is I think that we all, in a sense, present aspects of ourselves to others, either to deceive people, as in the case of Val, or in the case of Sasha, the young girl. It's in response to what you expect. And I liken it sometimes to taking a, when you're in your mid-20s and you meet the person of your dreams, you want to take them home immediately to meet your parents. And then you think, just a minute.
You had a stroke, what is 7 years ago, I think, if I have the date correct?
Yeah, 06 it was, yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And did you think that you were going to be able to return to working? Because you had to... quit your day job, I guess.
Well, it was frightening. It was absolutely terrifying. I say from the age of 13, I was, or 11, I was writing plays, and I always have been. And I've always been blessed, and I touch wood every time I say it, with an idea. And suddenly I woke up in the hospital bed, and I didn't have a single idea. And I felt like someone who'd been pregnant all their lives and suddenly was childless. And it was really frightening. And I kept lying there and thinking, come on. You pull yourself together. You've got a big back catalogue, which was fairly sizable even then. You can start redirecting shows. Don't worry about the new ones. And then as I lay there, as I recovered, a little tiny germ of an idea presented itself, and I thought, oh my God, I'm still fertile.
Playwright Alan Akeborn, he spoke to the Record's Marcy Silman, and the American premiere of Akeborn's play Sugar Daddies starts previews this evening at ACT Theater in Seattle. Up next, weekend weather with Bond, Nick Bond.